Hello, today is May the 21st of 2026. My name is Kayla Verhoeven, and this is part one of the pantograph. We'll go ahead and start off with the bright side, Route 66. The bright side, cruising with Lincoln on Route 66, card game, a dream, made real for McLean County History Museum. By D. Jack Alkire, 3 hours ago. Bloomington. If Abraham Lincoln were alive today, how would you help him get from Chicago to St. Louis? Why, by traveling along historic Route 66, of course. That's the premise of the new Cruisin' with Lincoln on Route 66 card game available at the McLean County Museum of History. In the game, you are going to have four attraction cards in front of you, which are different points of interest that really exist along Route 66 in Illinois. And you are attempting to put these cards into the correct geographic or chronological order, either by where they really exist, along the route from Chicago to St. Louis on Route 66, according to the year that answers the trivia question that's on the back of the card, said Ben Rossett, the game's creator. The card game also educates players about the communities along Route 66, testing their knowledge of the towns and cities along the 300-mile stretch. It's great for adults to play with kids, or for siblings to play together, or even for a group of adults to play at night, he said. It only takes about 20 minutes to play a game, so it's great for all ages. The card game is available in limited quantities for $19.99 at the museum's visitor center. From Dream to Reality by Clay Jackson with the Pantograph. Rossett is the Chief Operating Officer and Lead Game Designer for Bamboo Design Studio, a custom board game manufacturer. He also volunteers at the McLean County Museum of History. I had the idea to create a game specifically for the museum about the museum's content, and he went to the museum to pitch the idea of a custom game, and they were interested right away. However, putting one of the nation's most famous leaders on the nation's most famous road was not his idea, Rossett said. It was the museum staff that came up with the idea of putting together Lincoln and Route 66, which are our two big calls to fame here, not only at the museum, but in Bloomington, Normal, and McLean counties, he said. Because Lincoln never had the chance to travel with the Mother Road, they had to take some creative liberties with the timeline, hence the goal of planning a trip to quote-unquote teach the 16th president about Route 66 in Illinois, Rossett said. The artwork for the cards and game pieces is courtesy of both the museum and the Illinois Scenic Byway, he said. But the lion's share of work with those digital images, resizing them and designing a lot of the illustration, was done by Malia Bermejo, who had the internship with the museum this year, said Michaela Harris, the museum's director of communications. It was really Kim's set timing because her life goal and dream is to design games, Harris said. So quickly, we pivoted to her to work on this project. She designed the box and had a lot of the card layout and did a lot of editing. Funding for the project came from donations, and once that was secured in October, the project came together in 6 months, Rossett said. That is about as fast as it can possibly go. From art and design, sample production, securing materials and production, double-checking everything, and then finally mass production and shipping. To get all that done in about 6 months was a tight timeline, but with the help of the museum and the staff here, we made it happen. Museum goers helped all along the way as well, said Lisa Novak, Director of Visitor Experience. We have travelers all year round, so we were really able to test and play with these visitors from out of state to see how they interacted with the game, and to almost get an opportunity to correct anything before it went to print. Only 750 copies of the game were originally ordered, Novak said, but the museum has heard from others along the Mother Road who would like to participate too. We have been asked by other museums on the route to carry the game in the future, she said. In other news, moving on now to elections, clerks face mail voting pressure, by Nicole Hertek, Capital News, Illinois, 3 hours ago. Voting by mail isn't new. The United States first implemented the practice on a large scale when President Abraham Lincoln insisted on holding the 1864 election, and Union soldiers were far from their polling places. Since the 2020 election and the COVID-19 pandemic, it has become an even more popular voting method and one of the most scrutinized. In that election, a third of the votes counted in Illinois were by mail. Matt Dietrich, the spokesperson for the Illinois State Board of Elections, said it was the first time many Illinoisans had taken advantage of mail-in ballots. But as 43% of Americans voted by mail in 2020, according to the Census Bureau, it had the parallel consequence of delaying the timeline for ballot counting in several states. 6 years after President Donald Trump lost to Joe Biden in 2020, he still claims the election was rigged and that the late arriving mail-in ballots were fraudulent or shouldn't have been counted. Nonetheless, it remains a popular method, especially in Illinois, where the process of ensuring voter confidence in mail voting in elections generally falls upon county clerks. In 2024, more than 18% of voters cast their ballot by mail, according to the information from the Illinois State Board of Elections. In 2016, that number was 6.5%. Many county clerks told Capital News Illinois that they've developed strategies to boost confidence in voting by mail by relying on transparency, communication, and having people experience the process. In Illinois, we probably have been doing vote by mail longer than most Midwestern states, Don Gray, the Republican Sangamon County clerk, said in an interview, because of how long it is happening. He said it's the state's process is well established, and people's faith grows the more experience they have with the voting methods. Ahead of this year's elections, the U.S. Postal Service is making changes that could alter mail voting procedures. Congress is considering the Save America Act to tighten voter ID guidelines and exercise more federal control over voter rolls, as well as the U.S. Supreme Court considering whether ballots should be counted if they arrive after Election Day. Illinois officials say they're ready to handle these changes. Vote by mail experiences in Illinois and confidence. In Illinois, anyone who wants to vote by mail simply has to request a vote by mail application from the county's election office, fill it out, and send it back. Then voters can wait to receive a ballot in mail, fill it out, follow the instructions on how to return it. Illinois implemented no-excuse mail voting in 2009 and set up a system for permanent mail voting in 2021, which allows voters to sign up for receiving ballots without having to request them every time an election comes around. Pew Research Center polling from 2025 shows Americans still support mail voting, although Republican support has decreased since 2021. The poll showed support for mail-in voting was higher in states where it's more common. Seven states now have universal mail-in voting, meaning that all voters receive ballots in the mail regardless of whether they've even asked for them. According to the International Institute for the Democracy and Electoral Assistance, 32 countries or territories allow some form of mail-in voting, usually called postal voting. Europe has the largest number of countries that allow voters to cast a ballot using the postal service. It is not my experience that there is some vulnerability in systemic or large or wide fraud on just a mail program, because I know how we operate and we do it well, Gray said. Like other clerks, Gray said he practices full transparency by inviting people to observe how different steps are taken, from how to request a ballot to receiving it, turning it back into the clerk's office, and how it's processed and counted. The more that you can expose how you operate, the greater trust and confidence you'll have in your jurisdictions, he said. In Sangamon County, the number of people who vote by mail has increased, and so has the number of people registering in the permanent programs. Because of that, Gray thinks voters understand the process better. And I think it's going to be kind of a wave in the future, he said. It's one of those pieces that when you engage it, and you use it, and you realize how well you do it, and how secure it really is, you think to yourself, why haven't I been doing this all along? The number of people signing up for the program has grown in several areas of the state. When Democratic Champaign County Clerk Aaron Ammons took office in 2018, he said that only 7,000,008 people use mail-in voting, but now the permanent vote by standby lists have grown to almost over 20,000 more. So there's a tremendous increase, but I have been very diligent about that, he said. I've been very outspoken as an advocate for vote by mail. Ammons has done that in part by using local TV, radio, and newspapers and providing weekly updates about the processes through social media and the county clerk's website. A similar story has played out in Tazewell County, though the number of people voting by mail has decreased slightly following the pandemic. It's still about a quarter of the votes cast. Half of the voters still vote on election day, and another one-fourth do it early, but in person. We're hearing that it is our local folks that have confidence, Republic Tazewell County Clerk John Ackerman said. More questions are about the post office. Will it be delivered in a timely manner? How can we guarantee our ballot is actually there? Ballot tracking. So those questions are answered by ballot tracking, which allows people to keep tabs on their ballot and know when it arrives at the election office. Multiple clerks said it was another major piece of confidence in mail voting. That allows the voters to engage in the process rather than just assume it's there, Ackerman said. The Tazewell clerk's office uses a St. Louis-based vendor called No Ink to handle their mail-in ballots, and Ackerman said the ballot tracking was one of the main reasons why they switched from their previous systems. No Ink is a nationally recognized company that was set up by former election officials. The company also has materials for vote-by-mail reminder cards and other bulk mail for clerks to send to voters. Gray called the tracking system a quote-unquote beautiful way to make elections transparent and to boost confidence. You know, when you put your ballot in the box right, you hold us accountable, make sure that we have it, and that your vote has been validated and counted, he said. Current challenges and solutions. As the first midterm of Trump's second term looms in November, clerks are navigating a few new developments that could shake faith in the new vote-by-mail process. The United States Postal Service updated language regarding postmarking mail, including ballots. In a January news conference, a bipartisan group of county clerks warned that the new rule could alter when a postmark is applied and what it means for ballot eligibility. Illinois accepts ballots up to 2 weeks after an election, as long as the ballot is postmarked by the election day. The new rule means people who mail their ballots on or a few days before election day risk having their ballots rejected, clerks warned. The March primaries were the first elections under these new rules, and Ackerman said the rule change didn't have as big of an effect on mail-in voting as the clerk's office feared it would. I think it's due to the fact that we got this information out, he said. Before the primaries, the Illinois Association of Clerks and Recorders met to discuss how to handle the change and spread the word about it. There, Ackerman said he planned to put cards with information about these new rules in the vote-by-mail packets that Tazewell County voters were sent before the primaries. These packets also included a voter's ballot, return envelope, and instructions for filling out the ballot as well as returning it. In Sangamon County, 7,317 mail-in ballots were returned, and only 4 were rejected for having a late postmark. Williamson County had 1,206 mail-in ballots returned and 18 rejected because of the late postmark. In Tazewell County, 15 mail-in ballots out of every 2,933 were rejected because they were postmarked 1 or 2 days after March 17th. There shouldn't be ballots that aren't counted, period, Ackerman said. The goal is to have every single ballot counted. In generalized numbers, that doesn't mean a lot, but to those 15 individuals, I'm sure that that's a big problem. Another challenge could come from the U.S. Supreme Court, as it considers whether states should be able to count ballots that are postmarked by election day but do arrive later. A decision in the case is expected sometime before June the 30th, and it could lead Illinois to having to adjust how it collects mail-in ballots. The State Elections Board is already planning for the ruling and how to communicate new information to voters, Dietrich said. Anytime there's a big change to how elections are conducted, there's a perception that voting is complicated or that there's something to worry about, and he wants to reassure voters that the state will make available all the new information that they need to know. Misinformation spreads about voting, Democratic Champaign County Clerk Aaron Ammons said, because some people only engage when it's time to vote for president or Congress. people are not always paying attention, he said, so they don't see this information, or they digest misinformation as much as they do accurate information. He said he asked election judges, both Republican and Democratic, to talk about their experience to help set the record straight. He also relies on local media to share the new information. And Ammons credits only early education for how people in Champaign County adjusted to these pockmarked changes for the primary. Ackerman and Tazewell County would handle a change to whether Illinois could accept mail ballots after the election, the same way that they managed the postmarked change. We would have to proactively advertise that change to the public so that they know how to adjust their clocks, he said. That would mean telling people to mail their ballots at least a week before Election Day. When reassuring voters, Ackerman said, it helps to separate what's going on in Illinois from what happens in other states or at the federal level. All I can do is try to make sure that they are confident in their vote and their elections here, he said. That's about the limits of where I'm at. Still, Ackerman noted that the interest in voting by mail and voting in early person continues to increase, especially since people experience the process and realize it's easy and secure. We went from handling a couple of hundred ballots for vote by mail to having a vote by mail list now that I believe is sitting at about over 12,000, he said. The president continues to ramp up rhetoric. It took 4 days to call the 2020 race for due to how long it took to count votes in key swing states like Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Georgia. That delay opened the door for conspiracy theories about the election. Dietrich said after 2020, he started getting many more messages and Freedom of Information Act requests for documents related to the election, but in his experience, once people try voting by mail, their doubts about it fade. It is very hard to explain to someone who, if they believe the voting by mail is just rife with fraud and that it's so easy to get other voters' ballots and vote them, if they haven't seen how it works, it's really hard to explain why that's not the process, he said. Since 2020, county clerks have developed strategies to boost the confidence in voting by mail by relying on transparency, communication, and having people experience the process. Dietrich said he thinks people's faith in vote by mail has increased a lot over the years based on the higher number of people that use this method. I think those of who were skeptical, probably in the 2020 cycle, probably saw that there is, number one, it's convenient for you, but number two, it's secure. Even as they work to build up trust, Trump has continued to criticize mail-in voting, even though records and reporting show that frequently he uses it, including the 2026 Florida special elections and in 2020. On March 31st, Trump signed an executive order that would delegate responsibility for determining who can vote by mail to the United States Postal Service. The order instructs the USPS to refuse to deliver a ballot to anyone not in a newly created federal mail voter list, which would be established after receiving voter roll data from every state. Illinois is one of 23 states that is challenging it in court along with voting rights groups, as well as the Department of Justice on May 1st told a judge that it has not acted on the order to restrict mail-in voting. Capital News Illinois is a nonprofit, nonpartisan news service that distributes state government coverage to hundreds of news outlets statewide. It is funded primarily by the Illinois Press Foundation and the Robert R. McCormick Foundations. Switching over to other news now, a man faces attempted murder charges. Benway named suspect in house explosion and shooting investigation by J.J. Bullock, Peoria Journal-Star, 3 hours ago. Pekin, a 39-year-old man, has been named in charge in connection with a home explosion that rocked the city of Washington on Mother's Day. Scott Tyler Benway of Washington has been arrested and charged with the attempted first-degree murder, aggravated discharge of a firearm, and residential arson, according to the Tazewell County Sheriff's Office. Benway is being held at the Tazewell County Jail. Washington's Mother Day Explosion. Officers from Washington, East Peoria, and Illinois State Police responded around 4:30 a.m. May the 10th to the 900 block of Mallard Way in Washington on a report that multiple gunshots had been fired. When units and officers arrived, a person allegedly began firing on officers from a multi-unit housing complex, prompting officers to return fire. One officer was injured in the shootout. Benway was eventually taken into custody and transported to OSF Healthcare St. Francis Medical Center for treatment. After the shooting, an explosion occurred at the multi-unit building. The ensuing fire damaged other nearby buildings, and all residents of the building were displaced. Illinois State Police are investigating the officer-involved shooting. The Office of the Illinois State Fire Marshal and the Washington Fire Department will investigate the fire. In other news, a third victim dies in a crash near Cooksville by Caitlin Klepek 3 hours ago. Cooksville. A third person has died as a result of a crash involving multiple vehicles near Cooksville. According to a news release from the McLean County Coroner's Office, the crash, which took place at about 3 p.m. Sunday at the intersection of State Route 9 and 2600 East Road, claimed the lives of Beth L. Brucker, of 58, of Ellsworth, and Wee Lan Chin Chang, 82, of Millbrae, California. Brucker was previously identified as the sole occupant of the midsize SUV that was involved in the crash, while Chang was the rear occupant of a passenger van. Officials say other passengers of the van were taken to area hospitals for treatment. In a news release Tuesday afternoon, Coroner Dr. Kathleen Yoder released the names of the two women who were pronounced dead at the scene and said a third person has died from injuries related to the crash. The third person is an 86-year-old man from Millbrae, California, who was front seat passenger of the van. He was pronounced deceased at 1:49 p.m. Tuesday at Carl Broman Medical Center in Normal. His name has not yet been released. Preliminary autopsy results indicate the two women died from multiple blunt injuries suffered during a collision between an SUV and a minivan. Toxicology testing is still pending. The crash remains under investigation by the McLean County Coroner's Office as well as Illinois State Police. Moving on to other news now, a man gets prison for burglary by Caitlin Klepek 3 hours ago. Bloomington. A man from Bloomington has been sentenced to 6 years in prison for residential burglary. Patrick D. Mock, 28, was scheduled for a jury trial to begin Monday, but following a hearing at the end of March, Mock took a plea and was sentenced to the 6-year term. He was accused of breaking into multiple garages and attempting to steal cars before stealing a Mazda on Memorial Day of 2025. Judge William Yoder issued the sentence, for which Mock earned 310 days for credit for time served. After completing the prison term, Mock will serve 12 months of mandatory supervised release. The prosecution was represented by Assistant State Attorney David Rossi and the defense by Assistant Public Defender Mackenzie Frizzle. Initially, Mock was charged with the residential burglary, which is a Class 1 felony, burglary, a Class 2 felony, possession of a stolen vehicle, a Class 2 felony, theft, a Class 3 felony, and 3 counts of criminal damage to property, a Class 4 felony. After pleading to the Class 1 felony, his remaining charges were dismissed by the state. Today's Flick Fact Question. Bloomington Normal's passion for a new business showed last week with the opening of a Dutch Bros coffee shop along with IAA Drive. Only hours after opening on day one, do you know how many customers already had rolled through or traipsed inside and how many drinks had already been dispensed? Answer. In just the first 8 hours of May 13th, more than 3,000 customers and nearly 5,000 drinks had already been visited and sampled at Dutch Bros on IAA Drive. Officials at its headquarters in Tempe, Arizona, said it ranked among the biggest opening in the company's 34-year history and nearly 1,200 locations in over 19 states. As one BN resident posted on Nextdoor, "It's a madhouse, like nobody's ever had a cup of coffee before." How time flies. 100 years ago, on May 21st in 1926, there is an old saying that lightning, never strikes twice in the same place. But this seems to be an error, as the new barn on the William Nevins farm south of Bloomington, just off of Route 39, was struck and destroyed on May the 20th. 75 years ago, on May the 21st in 1951, the twisting, whistling tail of a small tornado reached out of a cloudy afternoon sky on May the 20th to strike with momentary fury in the producer's stockyards on East Lafayette Street. It picked up more than a score of heavy sheet metal troughs and crashed them down about 100 yards away. 50 years ago, on May the 21st of 1976, Bloomington Normal Airport Authority came within $500 of its budgeted amount for operating expenses in the completed fiscal year and reported Airport Manager Charles Waugh of the $202,998 spent, $129,665 was connected and collected from property taxes. The budgeted amount was $203,470. 25 years ago, on May the 21st of 2001, the summit is not as important as the climb. That's the viewpoint of motivational speaker Stacy Allison, the first American woman to reach the top of Mount Everest at 29,035 feet, the world's tallest peak. The summit is the goal, but it's actually being on the mountain that drives me, said Allison, who will give the keynote address May the 23rd at the 12th Annual YWCA Women of Distinction Banquet in Normal. Without the goal, the summit, the drive to reach the top, you would never know what you are capable of doing, she said. But being on the mountain is how I learn about myself. Allison, 42, began climbing at age 7. It was her mother who taught her a key life lesson, she said. She was rock solid, Allison said from her home in Portland, Oregon, where she lives with her husband, a physician, and two sons, ages 5 and 6. We were never told we could not do something. Her belief was that you could choose to be anything that you want and that nothing can hold you back. Moving on now to the obituaries, we have Beth Lynn Brucker, May the 17th of 2026. Service information is on www.calvertmemorial.com. We also have a William Kiefer, November the 12th of 1951 to May the 18th of 2026. William Bill J. Kiefer, 74, of Minoke, passed away on Monday, May 18th, 2026, at his home. Bill was born on November 12th of 1951 to Donald and Ruth Wright Kiefer. He was preceded in death by his parents and his brother, Jim Kiefer. The family extends their heartfelt gratitude to Dr. Kumar, Dr. White, and the compassionate staff at both Illinois Cancer Care and OSF Hospice for the exceptional care that they've shown to Bill and his family throughout his illness. In accordance with his wishes, cremation rites have been accorded, and a private family graveside service will be held at a later date. Those wishing to honor Bill's memory may make a contribution to the Minoke Ambulance Services. Online condolences may be sent to his family at www.ruistman-harris-funeral-home.com. Once again, that's ruistman-harris-funeral-home.com. Or to Ruistman Harris Funeral Home at 775 North Chestnut Street in Minoke, Illinois, 617-609-432-3999. Once again, online condolences may be sent to his family at www.ruistmanharrisfuneralhome.com or Rustman Harris Funeral Home at 775 North Chestnut Street in Minoke, Illinois, 617-609-432-3999. Thank you so much for listening with me today on part 1 of the Pantograph, and until next time, friends, have a wonderful day.